What's up and welcome back to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, December 2nd, 2022, a.k.a. Jay-Z's birthday. Ooh. Eve.
I thought you were going to say Callisto Protocol's release day. And I was yeah, Jay-Z's birthday is in 2 days.
In 2 days.
Yeah, we got to acknowledge that. Point.
Never forget. That one was for you, Cool Greg. Of course, I'm Tim Geddes, and I'm joined by the new face of video games, Blessing Adeoye Jr.
Tim, somehow I walked into the office and it is more cold than it's ever been in this office, which is saying something because this office is fucking cold all the time.
So we are in the most iciest of ice boxes of all time. And the funniest thing about it is in San Francisco right now, it is freezing cold. Mm. A level of cold that I don't think it's ever been for this sustained of a duration. The last week has just been like it's and just anything, whether you're inside, outside, it doesn't matter. Like, you're so cold. So cold to the point that Greg's car couldn't start today. He had to wait for his car to warm up, which I know a lot of people out there are like, yeah, that's normal. It's not normal for us.
In San Francisco,
so it makes it weird, which makes everything off track and become a disaster. Then the worst thing of my day is being here and knowing that I need to go home, which is freezing. Mm. And then being home and knowing I need to come here, which is freezing. And then in between, there's the being in the car part. That's also freezing.
You don't get a car heater? You're not putting
on
your car heater?
I do have a car heater, but you know, it's like, it's a never-ending cycle.
There was a thing I was doing in the first few weeks that I still might still do, where I, during my lunch break, I'll just go in my car and turn it on and just sit in my heater.
Yeah.
Because that's how cold I was sitting in this office. It's like, yeah. I need to get outside. I can't be in here. But yeah. Tim, you know what warms me up?
What? To be a master?
Well, to be a master.
The Pokemon licensed soundtrack from the anime.
I'm on the road to Viridian.
So many
City.
Slaps. We were banging it before this. Come on.
Yeah. And like you were talking before about the Pokemon anime and watching that big final event, right? Mm-hmm. Pikachu or Ash versus, I was going to say Lance. Leon, that's who it is. Shout out to Lance, though.
Shout out to Lance. My boy.
Ash versus Leon, how much that filled you with like hype and emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Today, I've been watching the World Cup casually, right? And like the World Cup has been something that I've been neglecting to bring up on shows just because it's controversial this year and FIFA just in general sucks, right? But like with the Qatar World Cup, there's like wild human rights shit that's going on. That's fucking insane. That said, though, I've been keeping up with it in my own time, right? Because the World Cup is still a huge event. It's still a thing that I'd say brings the world together. And it's soccer, right? And soccer / football is very fun to follow. Let me tell you that there was a game this morning that for me encompass that similar level of like hype and excitement, where it is Ghana versus Uruguay, which doesn't sound like a crazy ass game, but like to put it in context, Tim, back in kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, I want to say it was 2010, right? Ghana reached the tournament stages for the World Cup. And it's notable because Africans, I don't think in the history of the World Cup, there's been an African team that has actually won the whole thing. And so when one African team makes it through, all the Africans are rooting for that team. Everybody's like, oh, this is the one. Let's fucking go. And Ghana made it real far in the 2010 World Cup. They reach, I want to say, top eight. Again, kindoffunny.com says you're wrong. They go up against Uruguay. Really good team. Of course, they have Luis Suarez. Suarez, very notable soccer player, right? Mm. Very good. Ghana is like on the verge of possibly winning that game. It reaches the last 10 minutes of that match. And Ghana gets a shot on goal. Suarez, again, this world-renowned soccer player, right? He's one of the best in the game. At the last moment, gets a handball to deflect it. Like, the ball gets Ghana gets the shot. It goes past the keeper. Suarez is like, fuck it, last-ditch effort. Bats the ball out of the goal, and that keeps Ghana from scoring. Of course, that goes to a penalty. Ghana ends up losing the penalty, and then the game ends up ending with a Uruguay win because Uruguay won through penalty shootouts. This match that happened this morning, Tim, is the first time Ghana and Uruguay have met each other again in the World Cup then. And it's happening at the very end of the group stages, Tim, which right now the group stages is a stage where each group has four teams. The top two teams from each group can progress depending on who has the most wins. Uruguay and Ghana are facing off against each other, right? And it is the one. It is like, all right, who's going to move on? All right, how
are you about
to
tell me that one of them gets knocked out for a second and falls down, then has a vision of all the previous members of the team kind of helping him and inspiring him to come back stronger than ever and kick the final goal?
Tim, I'm going to tell you that Uruguay scored twice in the first half, and it was not looking good for Ghana, is what I'm going to say, right? Ghana didn't end up scoring. Ghana didn't come back. Mm. Ghana, though, did play a fantastic second half.
Yeah.
They killed the second half in a way where I was like, you did the damn thing.
Good
right?
job.
You did the damn thing. Up. And here's the twist, Tim, is that in the group stages, for the last match of the group stages, there are two matches that happen at the similar time, right? It's the last two matches of your group are playing at the similar time. And what happens when there's like a tie in the group stage in terms of the overall points, it goes to then goals scored. Uruguay was leading by the end of the match 2-0. what happened in the other match is that there was a an upset. I believe it was South Korea versus Poland. Chat again, Poland. Correct me if I'm wrong. South Korea ended up winning, and because of the score differential, Uruguay needed like one more goal to maybe make it pass into the tournament stages. 2-0 was not enough. They needed 3-0, and they weren't able to secure that at the end of the day. So both Uruguay and Ghana got kicked out.
No!
So Ghana lost. They lost the battle, but they did not lose the war because Uruguay is still fucking out of here. All right? Take that, Suarez.
Chat is saying, Portugal.
Portugal. Sorry, not Poland. Portugal. Thank you for the correction.
Oh, man. That's awesome.
Yeah. It was a great morning watching soccer, watching football.
There you go, everybody. Go watch the World Cup, or don't. I don't know.
Maybe what, don't.
I don't know. Listen, I don't know. I'm not going to be watching it.
It's one of the things where I'm watching. I'm like, I shouldn't be doing this. Yeah. But also, like, it's soccer. It's the World Cup. Like, it's a whole big thing.
I saw a picture of an American soccer player. It seems to be, or football player wearing one of those soccer shirts. Sorry, football shirts.
Just call it soccer.
And then he raised his shirt, and underneath the shirt, he said it's soccer.
Yeah, I love it. Because, like, America is so shitty. Like, we're such a damn shitty country. And the way that we rub it in. Because this country, USA, does not give a fuck about soccer. Except for the people that do give a fuck about soccer. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's the thing is, when we're winning in the World Cup, we find every single way to, like, be obnoxious about it. And it's fucking awesome. It's the most American thing. This is the one time of the year where I get any sort of patriotic. I'm like watching USA play. We get a tie with England, and I'm like, good enough. And I'm saluting. And I'm like, take that, Gary Winner.
Take that, Gary Winner. Today's stories include the Callisto Protocol reviews popping, Game Awards teases dropping, and more. Ooh, I liked that rhyme, Bless. I know you did that just for me. This is Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on YouTube.com/KindOfFunnyGames or twitch.tv/KindOfFunnyGames. We come at you with all of the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get things wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or search your favorite podcast service for Kind of Funny Games Daily, and we'll be right there for you. Remember, you can use Epic creator code Kind of Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be part of the show, you can head to kindoffunny.com/KFGD to write in with your questions, squad ups, and more. Remember, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny to get you the show ad-free, plus a bevy of bonus content. So many bonus shows, including Kind of Feudy, including The Shit List, some of my favorite pieces of content to do here at Kind of Funny. A little housekeeping for you. Kind of Funny Gamescast is up. It is our Callisto Protocol review. It's up right now on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. The Dead Space creator and Striking Distance Studios lead, Glenn Schofield, is coming to stream. Greg got in my head about it. You know what I mean? to stream the Callisto Protocol with us on Twitch and YouTube at 11 a.m. Pacific. Come for Mike and Greg trying to survive the nightmare. Stay for the gruesome in-game deaths. And thank you to our Patreon producers, Delaney Twining, 1UP Pest Control, Gwinnett, Brian Cheney, Alex Gradle, Jason L., the nanobiologist, Derek Garrick, Donald Eccles, and Jason L. Thank you all so very much for your support. Today we're brought to you by Chime, Shady Rays, and Mint Mobile. We'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We got 10 stories today.
A Baker's Dozen.
There we go. Story number.
Oh, that sounded just like the Switch commercials. Yeah. That snap. That was perfect.
There was some perfect echo reverb in here. That one hurt.
Oh man,
I hurt both my hands. I snapped so hard it hurt because it's cold.
Because
my
here.
Hands are cold. You guys, hold on. I know we're going off the rails already a little bit on this whole thing, but this is important. I bought fingerless gloves yesterday, and I just the tips of the fingers,
why?
Just the little tippies.
Why would you do that?
Because I'm so cold, Bless. I can't focus. I'm out there trying to. I'm doing my business calls. My hands are cold. Mm. I'm trying to do business emails. My
just
hands are cold.
Just use regular gloves.
But then my typing is inhibited.
My nose has been running for like the last month.
I'm sorry,
and I thought,
Tim, but you just got to learn how to type with gloves.
I thought that my nose has been running because of my cold that I had weeks and weeks and weeks ago at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm just realizing that it's just fucking cold in here. And yeah. That's why. That's what's causing it.
Like, I know that like the whole thing with San Francisco, right, Tim? You know this because you grew up here. San Francisco, October, that's our summer. That's when we get the heat is the month of October. And then December, we get a little bit. I feel like this December and like the last week at the
December.
End of the November, our winter has been colder than ever before.
Oh, yeah.
Consistent.
Undeniably. To the point that I'm buying gloves.
Yeah.
Now, a couple
like
things here.
Gloves.
A lot of hate on fingerless gloves. Fingerless gloves are cool. I'm saying it. The ones I got,
You don't want to die on this hill.
I understand
Tim is
that.
The keeper of many cool things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm with you on the fingerless.
Oh, that's the thing. I get it. It's okay. There's a right and there's a wrong, and
mods,
I just happen to be five steps ahead of the game on this.
Run a poll on Twitch and YouTube.
I happen to be 10 fingerless fingers ahead of the game on this.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Let me give you a tip.
People are also asking, give me a tip. You need tips.
Finger
on those
tip, baby. Yeah. That's the thing.
People,
man,
in chat are also asking, like, do we not have a heater? No.
I don't even want to get it.
I don't,
it. First I don't,
of all, I don't think
we
do, but also
we do.
We need to keep the technology in here cold is the thing.
Yeah. There's a lot.
There's a lot of stuff that overheats. Like if you notice on a gameplay stream, if someone's camera turns off, that's because the camera overheated. So
yeah,
there you go.
But I'm gonna say it. Fingerless gloves. I don't understand why they get so much hate. And there's cool looking ones, and I understand they're cool in anime. I think the fingerless gloves are so cool that I don't think I could pull them
off. You saying they're cool in anime does
who can?
Not translate to, there's a lot of cool shit that happens in anime.
Exactly.
That if someone tries to do in real life, they look fucking stupid.
Yeah, like you've seen people do the Naruto run in the anime and in real life. Guess what? In real life, you look like a fucking dork when you do the Naruto
That's
run.
That's what I'm saying.
I know,
That's
because I did it.
I understand. I'm just saying, we all agree that it's cool.
In the
we just can't pull it off. I don't know, man. We'll see.
Right.
Next week. They don't come till Sunday. Story number one, Callisto Protocol review roundup. Metacritic, 76. Open Critic, 76. First review, Blip It. Little snippet blip that we're going to read here. From Tristan Ogilvy at IGN.
I'm guessing. I don't know that for sure, by the way.
Okay.
You just got to say with enough confidence, nobody will question you is what I've learned.
They'll question. The Callisto Protocol is a supremely atmospheric... Sorry, they're at IGN. The Callisto Protocol is a supremely atmospheric and action-heavy tour through a spectacular slaughterhouse set in distant space. Its largely linear design makes for minimal backtracking, meaning it trims the fat while leaving no shortage of bone and grizzle to rip and tear. However, it also betrays its survival horror roots by regularly tipping the balance of power too far in favor of the player. And while there's plenty of murderous fun to be had using giant grinding mechanisms to make mulch out of mutants, such cheap thrills come at the high cost of puncturing any tension and dread that the tremendous art and audio design work so hard to invoke. Aside from the meaty melee combat, there's also the overriding sense that there's not a lot here that hasn't been done before. And there's disappointingly little to do once you've beaten the campaign. Thus, the Callisto Protocol is a satisfyingly gory spiritual successor to the Dead Space series, but it's ultimately more of a striking modern mimic than a scary new mutation. Yo, shout out to the poetry of that review. Sometimes I feel like people try a little too hard. This is the right level of trying,
lately,
Tristan.
They've been in their Duffy.
Good shit, Tristan. Good shit. Vicky Blake at Eurogamer recommends Callisto Protocol. Perhaps notably of all, what it lacks most is Dead Space's cloying atmosphere and thrilling story. I don't suppose it'll matter to some. The Callisto Protocol gets so much else right. It feels a little churlish to complain about it, but it's something to bear in mind if you had to choose between Callisto and Dead Space's upcoming remake and value storytelling above combat. Ultimately, the Callisto Protocol's frenzied action and brutal battles have still impressed me in all the right ways, drawing on all that makes Dead Space brilliant and building upon that impressive framework. No, it hasn't got it all right, and no, it's not anywhere near as scary as I was expecting, but if you, like me, are coming into the Callisto Protocol thinking it's a shallow facsimile of Dead Space, well, not quite. And Wesley LeBlanc at Game Informer gives it a 6 out of 10, saying if you wanted anything more of this second crack at making a new sci-fi IP in survival horror, or something markedly different that acknowledges just how far gaming has come since 2008, the Callisto Protocol is not your answer.
Wow.
And then Kinda Funny, we gave it a 4 out of 5 on the Kinda Funny scale.
We did.
Unanimously. Mike, and Greg all gave the same review. You can check out the review right now on youtube.com/kindafunnygames.
Yeah. It's been interesting to see reviews pop because, one, the reviews are very mixed. They're very all over the place, right? Anything from GameSpot even gave it a 5.
GameSpot gave it a 5, I said.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen things up to, like, you know, 5 stars, 9 out of 10, like those scores as well, and everything in between, mostly things in between. And I've never felt so out of touch, right? Playing through a game in a review period and then seeing reviews pop. Usually for the games that I feel like I am more on the positive side on, or even more on the negative side on, I can kind of see where people come down. Like something like Stray, where I gave Stray a 3 out of 5, right? I can understand why people will like Stray more than I like Stray, right? I can understand the level of quality that game is bringing from like world building, visuals, all that stuff, right? And especially like in the tech of how you make a cat look so much like a cat, right? Like I can kind of get things from that perspective. And even other games where, you know, something like Somerville, right? I understand why I might be, I could be on the higher side of the reception of Somerville. This is one where I'm like, wait, really? Y'all didn't like that game, this game that much? Because I thought this game was really, really good. And I still stand by that, right? Like, I think Callisto Protocol is a game that's worth any survival horror fan checking out. I think the combat is probably what's going to give people the most hang up.
Seems to be. Yeah. You know, like, just looking at Twitter today, it seems like the people that just did not like the combat, which I think is, from how you described it to me, not what I expected and surprising.
You described it
more as Punch-Out!-like as opposed to what we expect from a survival horror type game. So it's like, that is an interesting thing that I can see people being like, I do not like this.
Yes.
Or liking it.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, my enjoyment of the combat, I think, comes from how fresh it feels. And also how much I think it gets done in terms of going what it's going for, right? It is, with every combat scenario, reading the room, figuring out, all right, like, I have four people, I have a spike wall here, and I have this many bullets in these guns. How am I going to approach this scenario? And getting into it of, all right, I'm conservative in my ammo. I'm going to make sure that I am not shooting as much as possible. So I'm fucking like lining enemies up, going for the dodge, 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 hit, 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 dodge, dodge, grip, throw you into a wall, right? And rinse, watch, repeat. I like that process. I don't think it's a perfect process. I think there are so many ways in which the combat system can grow, but I do enjoy the combat system. I had a lot of fun with it. The world building, the story, I'd say, is good, right? I enjoyed the story. It's not the best survival horror story or anything near that, but I think the way in which it builds the sci-fi world of Callisto Protocol is actually pretty interesting, and I like the places where it went toward the end of it. The character performances I thought were pretty good. I like the game visually, right? Like, the graphically and fidelity-wise, I think this is... maybe I would say this is one of the best looking games this year, right? Especially if you're playing on PS5. I did see, and we're going to talk about this in a second, there are some hangups on PC, right? You might want to avoid the PC version of this game. Of course, I played the PS5 version, so I didn't run into any of those technical hiccups. Technically, I'd say this game on PS5 is pristine, right? And that was another thing that hit me as well. The atmosphere in this game is so thick as well. So, like, it's one of those things where it is, you know, art direction, world direction combined with great fidelity made for a thing that's like, oh man, I love being in this world, right? Let alone a good story, let alone a good world building and all that stuff.
Let's get into the second story and keep going with this, because story number two, the Callisto Protocol Steam reviews suffer following reports of poor performance. This comes from Ryan Dinsdale at IGN. The Callisto Protocol Steam reviews are suffering as several users are reporting a stuttering frame rate on PC. As reported by PC Gamer, the game's Steam page currently has a mostly negative rating, with just 29% of the 2,800-plus reviews being positive. The Callisto Protocol is described as a stuttering mess by one user, while another commented, "It's pretty hard to get immersed when the game drops frames every time you go around a corner." Several of these users also claim to be running the Callisto Protocol on high-end graphics cards, including the RTX 3080, but even then, the frame rate regularly drops significantly. "Currently, I can't even walk through the opening area and turn a corner without stuttering on a 3080 with ray tracing off," said another user. "Performance is not good at all right now." Callisto Protocol was released today, and only the PC version appears to have frame rate issues so far. However, and even then, it doesn't appear to be affecting every user.
And that's a bummer to hear, right? Yeah. Like, for a game that we talk about in our review, right? This is the first game coming out of Striking Distance, right? It is one of the first big releases coming out of Krafton as a publisher. Of course, Krafton being now the publishing holder of PUBG, right? And they are acquiring more studios and publishing more games. Callisto Protocol, I think, was supposed to be this big coming out party for them of, all right, now we're entering this AAA single player space, and we're putting out a game that we're hoping is going to be received as like one of the bigger and finer the single player action games this year, right? Single player survival horror games this year that hopefully will make a splash. Stuff like this gets in the way, right? Stuff like this muddies the water in terms of the reception, and stuff like this really sucks for the audience that really was looking forward to playing this game on PC, because I'd say one of the main draws for me with Callisto Protocol is how good it looks, is how good the gore looks when you're cutting people up, right? Is the presentation of it. And you can get that on PS5, right? But PC is supposed to be the place where it's like, all right, let's turn up the settings, put on the ray tracing, put on all the shit Andy Cortez talks about, NVIDIA DLSS.
DLSS, baby.
You know, let's crank all those sliders and really make this thing sing. And the fact that it runs like this on PC, that is such a bummer for this game.
Yeah, I wanted to call attention to some some tweets here from the Digital Foundry crew. So John Linneman was doing a Twitter thread, and their video's out now. You should check it out, the DF Tech review of Callisto Protocol. A PS5-focused piece concentrating primarily on the game, which is excellent, they're saying. But I wanted to stress that this is easily one of the best implementations of ray tracing on console to date. It's rare to see multiple RT ray tracing features used simultaneously, let alone with such diffuse reflections. This game looks good either way, but ray tracing adds a ton, in my opinion.
Dude, the lighting is incredible.
He said, I love the game, and I'm super impressed with the visuals on display. One of the best-looking games I've played to date. Alas, there's some issues with certain versions that will hopefully be cleared up soon. I'm sure they're talking about the PC one. But interesting that, like, in direct opposition to how poorly it's running on PC, it's like, oh damn, it is like a technical showpiece for the PS5.
Yeah, and it surprised me from Krafton, right? Because when I look at them as like the PUBG company, I associate them with PC. I would think that PC would have been their priority here, especially again for a game that is going for fidelity so hard, and that does succeed when it comes to when the ray tracing works on the platforms where that stuff works, right? When it comes to that being so good and being so pristine, right? Why does what happened to the PC version? Like, I'm sure there's a story there, but either way, yeah, I think that is going to muddy the experience for a lot of people. I'm sure that played a role in terms of where the Metacritic stands. And yeah, like, I guess if you're out there and you're looking forward to playing Callisto Protocol, avoid the PC version. Like, hopefully you have the ability to play it on a console.
Yeah. And it's interesting. I'm not really seeing much talk about Xbox. So
I think I don't want to speak for Mike, but I think he played it on Xbox. I could be wrong about that one, though. And gotcha. I don't remember hearing any complaints from him, at least.
Cool. Story number three, continuing to roll down the road on this one. The Callisto Protocol's roadmap has been revealed. This comes from Tom Ivan at VGC. Striking Distance Studios has further detailed its DLC plans for the Callisto Protocol. The studio's published a DLC roadmap revealing release dates or launch windows for content, including the game's super silly season pass, as well as free updates for all players. On February 7th, all players will receive free access to New Game Plus and hardcore modes. But before I continue, Mike, what's up?
Hey, I heard you guys might want me to talk about performance on Xbox.
Yeah,
I played over on the Xbox.
Xbox Series X.
Series X, yes. My first night at the beginning of the game, I encountered some stuttering. Right, it felt like the frames were just kind of janking back and forth on me throughout multiple sequences. But then after my first night, I played for another three nights. The rest of the experience was very flawless. I mean, the game looked good. The game ran good. The Xbox version seemed to be very good on my side of things.
How do you like the, like, fidelity-wise, like, ray tracing, lighting, that stuff hold up?
You know what? I didn't really look, like, deep into the settings on that like Andy Cortez would, but I would say that the game impressed me look-wise the entire time on just stock settings of, hey, I'm not going deep into this, of changing anything, looking for frame rate over performance, right? That was just like, I'm just going to go into this with what they have, and it seemed to run fine and play really well for me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Cool. I was impressed.
Thank you, Mike. Then continuing on here, in terms of premium season pass content, which is further detailed below, the Outer Wastes skin collection will also arrive on February 7th. It'll be followed by the Contagion bundle in March, the Riot bundle in next spring, and new story content in the summer. So, Bless, what does this mean for you? Are you interested in any of this? I imagine the story content would be the one thing maybe tantalizing.
Yeah, I don't understand why this game has a season pass. Like, that's kind of confusing. I understand DLC, right? Like an expansion pack or whatever. I think that makes sense. But this isn't the kind of game that I'm going to return to, like, month over month, right? Like, them releasing a new game plus in February, I'm like, all right, cool. That's not for me, right? I don't see myself wanting to replay this game for New Game Plus. You know, even Greg Miller is somebody who is in that market of somebody who would replay this game for the Platinum. I think he wants to do that immediately. You know, that's why I don't know if he's going to wait until February.
It's a bizarre thing that I wonder. I really am interested in the thought process behind New Game Plus on how to integrate it into a game, whether it's like just part of the experience that they plan, whether it's a necessity for the Platinum, like something like we saw with Miles Morales, or if they're just like, oh yeah, we're looking at it more as a bonus and a reason for people to get back in and play the game at its best. So the game's out now. They're going to add all these other extra things. We're going to give people the New Game Plus later because we want them to be able to experience the patches and the upgrades and everything that happened since. But it's like, it's weird where how should things work in my mind when I'm playing a game? I beat the game. I feel like the first thing when the credits end, it should say, do you want to start a new game plus?
Do you want to start
and
a new
you
game
make
plus?
A new save file, and then you get the choice of doing it again with all your weapons or not. Like, that's the fun of the video game, right? Like,
yeah. I wonder if it's a time allocation thing of you're working on the game, you're trying to get it out the door, and New Game Plus comes up on the priority list, and you're like, well, we don't need that at launch, right? Like, people aren't going to be doing New Game Plus day one. We'll figure that, we'll put that in month two or whatever. But by that time, I feel like it's too late, right? Like, yeah. I don't know if there's like a, maybe if it is a 1 week after, but of course, development takes time, right? It takes time to actually figure out how to add these things to the game. I think it's just a weird thing. I, for one, would prefer New Game Plus be there at day one for the people that do that stuff, because it is, I think for the ways in which your most hardcore audience plays games, and maybe this is an us thing because we play games for work, I tend to knock out games like in a week, right? Yeah. Maybe in a week or less, depending on the length of the game, right? If it's a big RPG, maybe a few weeks. And by the time I finish something, I'm like, if I'm really craving it that much, if I do want to either go for the platinum or I just want to get back into the world and fucking dominate shit, just have fun with it, I think I'm doing that immediately after.
100%. Like, that, talking this out with you, New Game Plus should be day one, or just don't do it. Just be like, this is not going to be a thing added. Like, I feel like it is, that is exactly the point. We always hear about completion rates being super, super low. I feel like over the years, they're just getting lower and lower from anytime we've seen stats released, right? Like, I remember 25% of people running credits on multiple games and the developers putting out that stat. And I feel like I've seen less and less over time even. But then on top of that, though, it's like, cool, if that's true, you got to imagine the people that are playing the game the first week are the most hardcore. They're the ones beating it. They're the ones that want more. They're the ones that want a New Game Plus.
Yeah.
They're the ones that actually take advantage of it. It's interesting. And like, yeah, for this game to be releasing its New Game Plus in February.
It's weird timing. And I would say, yeah, either do it day one or do it with the story content for people that might be like, all right, let me refresh myself on what that story was. Do New Game Plus so you have all those upgrades and you're able to play through it way easier, and then you get into the DLC story content. I think just the timing of February, the timing of the New Game Plus dropping is a random thing months later, has always been a thing of like, oh, why? I'm not going to do that. I use that then. But yeah, I look through the rest of the season pass, and it is, what, the Outerway skin collection also comes out on February 7th. Again, I play through the game. I'm not going to use the skin collection, right? In March, you're getting the Contagion bundle. Later in spring, you're getting the Riot bundle. And again, I'm like, what are those? Like, is that just more cosmetic stuff? Is that more skins for my other guns or more weapons? And if so, like, what am I using that with? Is there a different mode? You know, like, that's the other thing. Is it'd be a different thing if there was like a horde mode or something that was like a repetitive way to play the game that I was using this stuff in. It seems like this is stuff that you would just use to play through the story experience again. And then, yeah, in summer, you're getting the story content. And that is the stuff where I'm like, yes, let's go. I would be told, I'm totally down to play more story content in this game. In fact, I'm curious to see what that story content is, right? That does excite me. But the rest of the season pass doesn't, right? I think for a single player game to do a season pass in this way, it's kind of unnecessary, you know? I would maybe try and condense it a little bit and do it in... Maybe,
do an update.
Yeah, do an update or do it update. And do it in one or two drops, right? Hey, first drop, here is New Game Plus, plus hardcore mode, plus all this costume stuff that maybe you weren't able to get out day one for the people that might pick up the game later on a sale or whatever. All right, cool. And then drop two, here is the story content. I don't think you need to stretch it out over this course of time, because people aren't going to return to a game like Callisto Protocol like that multiple times over the year.
Yeah. They're just simply not going to, except for the
big hardcore fans.
Exactly. Those will be there. They're going to do that no matter what for whatever they do.
Yeah.
Like, we're not talking about those people.
But that's
we're
my
talking
other question.
About how to get more people involved in things like this.
That's my other question is, you know, when I'm talking about people that would do that, do something like that, I'm thinking back to when I was a kid and I had unlimited time in the world, and I have a small amount of games, right? So I am playing Mario 64 20 times. I am playing Pokemon Blue 50 times, right? I'm playing GTA San Andreas 5 times. I can play these games over and over and over again. Do people still do that? Like, do a large amount of people still do that? Because I feel like people have more access now when it comes to sales deals, kind of, kind of for the Game Pass, Xbox Game Pass, games being just longer and more packed in with content. Are there people that are going to play Callisto 5 times in the course of 6 months?
Yeah, but they're the hardcore.
I don't know about Callisto, but Blessing, have I introduced you to someone named Barrett Courtney who replays games all the fucking
time? You're
mad, man. There are dozens of us out there, Bless.
You're mad,
and it's also it's not always you know, Persona, right? Sometimes it's just like a, you know, Batman Arkham Asylum, which only takes like a few hours to do. Sometimes it's you know, putting 60 hours into Neon White, you know. Who knows?
That's fair.
I'm a game replayer. Like, for okay. sure. But, like,
but like even, are those old games?
Yeah, most of them are old, but, I mean, as I get older, more and more games become old. You know what I mean?
That's true.
That's,
so
that's the saddest part.
Because I did replay Thug 2 in September, yeah. And God, I will replay so Thug good. 2 for as long as I live.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's just how things go, but I feel like to answer your question, I think people are still doing that when you look at things like Minecraft or Roblox. Like, just like the kids these days, are they have different games that they just play. Yeah.
But
over
even
and
those
over,
are games
what
that
means is different.
Those are games that have limitless content. Again.
But I think just games these days have limitless content to some extent. Like, there are exceptions. And weirdly, Callisto is one of those exceptions. It's the rare single player game. That's all that it is.
Yeah.
It's just a single player game. There's no multiplayer mode. There's no hints at that, right? It's just, it is what it is. It's a linear story game. So,
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, we'll see. Story number four, 505 Games and Epic Games. Sorry. Yeah, 505 and Epic Games have launched a teaser site for a Game Awards reveal. This comes from Tom Ivan at VGC. 505 and Epic have launched a teaser site for a new project set to be revealed at next week's Game Awards. The upcoming announcement is also being promoted by actor Michael Madsen in a video which can be viewed below. It sees his character returning Game Awards host Jeff Keighley's lost wallet. Okay, yeah, that looked weird as I was reading it. I was like,
as that... I was reading it too, I was like, where are they going with this? And I was like, okay, that makes sense.
It sees his character returning Game Awards host Jeff Keighley's lost wallet to a disinterested receptionist who opens it to reveal a QR code which leads to visit Jesus Christ.
Visit Rockay City. This is the video, by the way. Barrett has it pulled up if you're watching
this
video.
URL. I need to read it to y'all. visitrockaycity.com.
Yeah.
It looks like somebody just like went like that.
So it just keyboard, like man. A cat just walked across the keyboard.
Visit Rockay City. All right. The website shows a harbor set against the backdrop of a cityscape at night. Sirens can be heard in the background, and what appears to be a police helicopter can be seen flying between skyscrapers while scanning the streets.
Interesting.
What is this?
Here's the actor returning Jeff Keighley's wallet to a disinterested receptionist.
I don't know if I've seen... Tim, has he been in anything since Pulp Fiction? Or no, not even Pulp Fiction, right? It's Reservoir Dogs that he was in.
I don't know.
I don't know if I've seen him in anything Michael since Madsen. Then, I'm
going
to be honest.
Let me tell you. It's Friday, maybe. I don't know what's going on with my brain. As we read Michael Madsen...
I guess he wasn't Kill Bill.
We read Michael Madsen. Willy. In my head, I was thinking Mads Mikkelsen.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And I was like, that's not Mads Mikkelsen. I know how
that's
Mads
not Mads.
I know how Mads looks like. That's not Mads.
Tim, I'm going to admit to you, I've never seen Free Willy.
Oh, Barrett, I know what me and you were doing this weekend. Yo, shout out to Free Willy, man.
Are we watching Free Willy? In
Free
your
Willy.
Theater?
Yo, I have too
Bless
much
you,
nice
you
things to
over?
Say. Too many nice things
I've
to say
never,
about Free Willy.
I've never had the inclination of, man, I could watch Free Willy right
Dude,
now.
It's been, I haven't seen it in so long. But
I've also
man,
not seen Free Willy.
That movie's fantastic. The soundtrack... Oh, the theme song. Don't even get me started.
Okay, I had a double title. Free Willy was the movie about the dolphin, right?
The whale.
The whale, okay.
Yeah, show some fucking respect.
Excuse me, I'm
to
sorry.
To Willy.
I didn't mean to do that to Willy.
Josh in the chat say, don't watch that. Good Lord. The disrespect to my boy out here. All right? Jesus. Where am I?
I'm trying to figure out where Michael Madsen is.
Yeah, what's Michael
like,
Madsen
he's
up to?
In Kill Bill Volume 2.
Yeah.
Thelma and Louise, Reservoir Dogs.
Dwarves. You know what, everybody? Before we get
Brasco.
To the next story, I wanted to give you...
You don't have much to say about this one? Because I want to look at the website.
Yeah,
can you bring the website
it.
Back up? Because I wanted to ask what vibes this gives you.
Cyberpunk, but not as futuristic.
Yeah, this reminds me of Real Housewives of Miami.
Oh.
Season 4 coming December 6th.
This obviously must be Rockay City. Rockay City looking a little, maybe like Miami-ish. Maybe like...
Yeah, very Miami.
Yeah. You think this is going to be an open world city game? You think you're going to be playing as Michael Madsen wreaking havoc?
I have a feeling Michael Madsen has nothing to do with it. I think that was just for the marketing, and they thought that was a good decision. So I think that might be a good level
think,
of what this game
you
might
You think
be.
At 505 Games and Epic Games, they're like, we need an actor that's going to be a hit with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get Michael Madsen.
Yeah.
Reservoir Dogs.
Reservoir Dogs.
All right. I'm curious to see what this is.
I guess, this is such a weird thing to say, but I know motherfuckers out there are going to vibe with me on this. QR codes always make me feel a little weird.
Why?
I
don't like that my phone's camera can detect links.
Like, I like the tech. I'm just saying that I have found that when people use QR codes in their marketing,
It's never good.
It just feels weird.
That's my thing is QR
but
code.
But I don't know why. Because, like, well, I guarantee we're going to do it at some point. I guarantee.
But, like,
I
that's my thing is.
That is a promise to you.
QR codes have a place in time that I think are useful. I like that QR codes are in restaurants, so I don't have to hold a menu that a million people have held, right, and get COVID because two tables before me decided to cough and then touch this menu. And now I'm touching the menu. Now I'm coughing. No, let me use my phone. Let me scan the thing and let me look at the menu through my phone. And also, let me order through my phone.
Mm-hmm.
That's good usage of a QR code.
Yeah,
when a QR code is like, hey man, you saw here's a website, and then you look at the website, and then like there's a QR code on a website that takes you to another website, and I'm like, what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah. What are you doing? It's like this weird marketing adventure. Yeah. Like, I don't know, man. But yeah, we'll see. Visit rockawaybeach.com or whatever.
Rockaway City. That's not a great name for a city. I got to rename that city. Just call it Miami. City.
Yo, hey, 505, if you need some advice, we got it, okay? No QR codes. Change the name of the city.
Maybe
go watch Free
Miami,
Willy.
And then, you know, the leaks happened with GTA 6, and they're like, we got to get away from...
We got to move away from Miami.
Yeah.
Going somewhere
else.
Even though
they call it Vice City, right? So
they call it Vice City, yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe there's another Miami game coming.
I don't know. But you know what I do know, everybody? I know that you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny to get this show ad-free, but for everyone else, here's some ads. Shout out to Mint Mobile for sponsoring this episode. This holiday season, the best deal in wireless can only be found at Mint Mobile. Right now, when you switch to Mint Mobile and buy any three-month plan, you'll get another 3 months for free. Mint Mobile lets you order and activate from home with eSIM while saving tons on phone plans starting at just $15 a month. I've had my mom using Mint Mobile long before this holiday deal, and I have to say, now is the perfect time to switch. All plans come with unlimited talk and text and high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and switch easily and effortlessly with eSIM. Or if you need a new device for a limited time, get 6 months of free service when you buy a select device and plan. For a limited time, buy any 3 month Mint Mobile plan and get 3 more months free by going to mintmobile.com/kindoffunny. That's mintmobile.com/kindoffunny. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/kindoffunny. What's the first thing you do when you wake up? Is it checking up on your credit score? I don't think so. At Chime, that's exactly what they do. With their secure Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card, you can start to build credit with your own money. Their members see an increase of 30 points on average. So start your credit journey with Chime. Sign up takes only 2 minutes and doesn't affect your credit score. Get started at chime.com/kfgames. That's chime.com/kfgames. Games. The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by Stride Bank, N.A. pursuant to a license from Visa USA Chime checking account and $200 qualifying direct deposit required to apply for the secured Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card. Regular on-time payment history can have a positive impact on your credit score. Impact to score may vary and some user scores may not improve. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal fees may apply except at MoneyPass ATMs at 7-Eleven or any Allpoint or Visa Plus Alliance ATM. So again, start your credit journey with Chime. Sign up takes only 2 minutes and doesn't affect your credit score. Get started at chime.com/kfgames. That's chime.com/kfgames. Shout out to Shady Rays for sponsoring this episode. Look how cool I look. You too can look this cool without breaking the bank this holiday season. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that gives you the features of $200 shades for a fraction of the price and a fraction of that price during their biggest Black Friday sale ever. The best part about Shady Rays is their insane protection program featuring lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your shades on day one, they told us that they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. Dropped in the lake, off a cliff, anything. If you get the wrong style for yourself or someone else, no need to worry. Avoid the hassle and the forced thank yous with free 30-day exchanges and returns. You will either love the shades or Shady Rays will pay to ship them back. Act now for the best Black Friday selection. Redeem only at ShadyRays.com, where you can find all their newest and best shades. Redeem only at ShadyRays.com, where you can find all their newest and best shades. Good morning, America.
Good
story
morning,
number
America.
Five. Hideo Kojima has further teased his next game with new logos. This comes from Jordan Midler at VGC. Hideo Kojima has further teased what's expected to be his next game by posting several logos that will seemingly be featured in the title. The director tweeted, "Start a new journey," with an image of several logos attached. One of the logos has been used regularly as Kojima has been revealing actors that will be part of the project. So far, the director's confirmed that Shiori Kitsuna and Elle Fanning will star in the game, although the roles that they will play are currently unknown. It's believed that Kojima is currently working on at least two projects. One is thought to be a game called Overdose, footage of which has seemingly leaked online several times this year. The second game could be a sequel to Death Stranding. In response to Kojima's Twitter post, fans have been quick to point out some of the similarities between the logos and the Bridges Company logo featured in Death Stranding.
See, I was going to say, I can't believe that the Gotham Knights marketing team got Hideo Kojima to be a part of their weird logo reveals.
Yo, that's actually a really solid point. This does have that vibe for sure.
Peep the in the replies. The first reply there is from the Game Awards with a siren emoji.
Mm.
Yeah. Who knows when we're going to see this game?
Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows where this
game
could show
possibly
up? I guess the only question really is, like, is it Overdose or is it Death Stranding 2? And, like, I can kind of go either way with it because, like, you know, Kojima showed up at Xbox's thing to announce that he's working on that cloud game. I think the idea is that the cloud game is probably Overdose. Overdose being, again, the game that has been leaking and also the game that stars the actress who plays Mama in Death Stranding. I feel like I sound like a crazy person as I'm saying all this because of Kojima. But I'd be curious to see that, right? Like it looks like that's going to be like more survival horror vibes. On the flip side, right? Looking at the logos, this does look like some of the Death Stranding branding. Like that thing in the middle, I think you can make the argument that that's like a bridge.
Yeah, absolutely. Looks like drawbridge.
Yeah. Whatever it is, I'm excited.
Bless. Mm-hmm. I don't think this is going to happen, but what if Jeff pulled it off and at the Game Awards, he does with Kojima what PlayStation did with Insomniac a couple years ago?
He buys Start with Kojima?
Buy Kojima?
No, not that. Not that. Although, no. Where you start the showcase with Ratchet and Clank, you end it Spider-Man 2.
Oh.
Start it with one project. Start it. Death Stranding 2, whatever it is.
It was like that PSX where they started with Uncharted Lost Legacy, ended with Last of Us Part 2. I was in that room. That was really cool.
Hype as hell. Yeah.
Wait, has PlayStation done that multiple times where they've had two games from Insomniac? Because they did, yeah, that one was Ratchet & Clank and Spider-Man Miles Morales.
Oh, yeah, sorry, not Spider-Man 2.
And then Miles PlayStation, Morales. And then later on, they did Wolverine and Spider-Man 2 back to back.
Wow.
God, Insomniac is just like nonstop with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Holy cow.
So I think that's going to happen.
Wow. Both you think we're going to get two things. Kojima games?
I don't think that they're necessarily going to start and end the show with it, but also, if I was producing the show.
That's what you would. It's, if you're Jeff Keighley, especially, like, and you're Kojima's best friend, yeah, like, let's open and close. Like, those are going to be the big bangers at the show. I'm excited for this, man.
I'm excited, man. Game Awards. You're going to be there. I'm always jealous of that, but then you're always jealous of me because I get to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited for next week, Tim. Tim. Do we want to like order pizza that night?
We're gonna order all the za.
I'm really jealous. Yeah, are you ordering like round table? Because I'll stay.
We'll do all every pizza place.
Yeah. I'll stay
one
here.
One pie from every place.
Do you know what I ordered last night on DoorDash?
Every pizza place.
Little Caesars.
Oh my God.
Yo,
I haven't eaten Little Caesars since 2015, maybe. Maybe
I know
2014.
Little Caesars is everywhere, but I feel like it's such a Bay Area thing to like. You go down to Little Caesars, I forget what neighborhood it is, and you're just like slumming it. You're just like, yeah, fuck it. Just give me this $5 pizza, man.
A lot of people in chat have the correct reaction, which is, why? Gross. Ew. Like, and I understand, because that's why I've not had Little Caesars in over 7 years.
Don't they have the cool, what do they call it? Like the monkey bread or whatever? Or crazy bread or something?
Oh, the
like
crazy
that?
Bread. Yeah, the crazy
bread.
Yeah,
dude. There's a thing called monkey bread.
Is there really?
I made that up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, Monkey Bread's Square Pie Guys has that.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Good.
Yeah. But yeah, no, they have all that stuff. But I think for me, it was the thing of I've been on the TikToks, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, I think Little Caesars might have hacked my TikTok and hacked my algorithm. Because I've been getting multiple TikToks of people being like, eating Little Caesars pizza and being like, man, people are underrated. The Little Caesars pizza is actually really good.
Yeah, that's so funny.
And
dude,
I was like, all right, enough is enough.
My shit pizza, like, thing that I stand is the personal pizza from Pizza Hut.
Okay, first of all, that's a personal pizza from Pizza Hut is great.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I legitimately rock with that. Where I'm like, it's not comparable to any other real pizza, but whatever
it is.
Don't
put quotations around real pizza.
It's hella good, dude. It's hella good. Am I going to get it? Is there a pizza or not? Story number six. Among Us has something to show at Game Awards. This just comes from Twitter. There's a tweet from Among Us Game that says, oh no, OMG, oh God, emerge, oh God, emergency meeting, oh God, help, oh God, ah. Watch out for some huge Among Us news during the Game Awards opening act on December 8th.
So that already debunks your Death Stranding.
Exactly,
the opening act, because you know how they do the kind of stream before the stream kind of thing.
They're not saying Among Us for the pre-show.
Maybe.
Among Us is core show content.
Because... I think there's already egg on your face, Bless.
Mm-hmm.
4:30 p.m. They're saying, and I think Game Awards starts at 5. But I think they're already telling us that it's pre-show.
Okay.
But yeah, Barrett, can you look at that?
I'll triple check that.
If they're saving it for the pre-show, that's not going to be huge Among Us news.
Well, I mean, what could huge Among Us news be at this point?
Oh man. They're adding more roles.
Among Us. Yeah,
I love Among Us. But Among Us 2, that was a thing that they used to be working on that they canceled after Among Us blew up. Maybe they could do like a big Among Us expansion like thing where it is, we're doubling the maps. We're adding in a whole bunch of new roles. Like here's a bunch of I think it could be something like that. Of course, Among Us VR just came out. No, Among Us VR I think was announced at the Game Awards. Question is, was that pre-show or core show?
So all I have on the website here is the Game Awards airs live and free on Thursday, December 8th at 7:30 p.m. ET, 4:30 p.m. PT.
Okay, so maybe.
The show airs across all major digital social gaming platforms around the world. But like that, I feel like before, though, they've also done that where it's like, oh, the stream starts at this time, but then like the first like 20 minutes is kind of just like mini reveals and stuff like that.
Uh-huh. Mm. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Checks out.
Yeah. And then they toss out like the esports awards. Oh, what's
that? What else? Greg Miller just showed up on set.
Greg Miller's coming to DoorDash some pizza on me.
Oh, let's fucking go. Let's fucking go. I'm so excited about this.
Hung up on a personal pizza or should I just get a bunch of pizzas?
Well, that's my thing. I can't stand by these. I don't know. I'm down to try.
Personal pan pizzas. Right
I would
there.
Like that. Can I get a personal?
Sure.
Yeah, whatever's on that picture looks.
Are we gonna order like the bigger pizzas anyway?
Diplomacy act.
Because if we're doing pepperoni diplomacy, I'll just get a pepperoni.
Yeah.
If we're just getting some pizzas, I don't need a personal. I'll get
you a personal. Thank you. I need to know because I haven't had one.
I like that Greg is in his like Captain America like casual fit where he's like
it's
trying
the
not
dad
to get
mode. Yeah. I love it.
Let me a couple things because I forgot to mention. Right,
Greg. Well, can I read what you texted me last night? Sorry.
Go for it.
I just want everybody to know that I live a pretty stressful life. And what I mean by that is I am often full of stress. Mm-hmm. All right. So when I get a text or a call or a Slack from Greg Miller anytime, pretty much anytime, my first reaction is, fuck, what's wrong? Right?
Mm-hmm.
I've just been conditioned that way. It's not good, but that's just my life. The later in the night it gets, especially these days with little baby Ben, all right, I'm like, uh-oh, something bad might happen. Like, I don't even want to look at my phone right now. Mm. I get a text from Greg last night at 9:45. I can be honest with you, right?
Jesus Christ.
Next text. Like, 100% honest. Unflinchingly honest. And I said, uh-oh. Yes. Ha-ha. And he replies, the world stopped calling penises Johnsons, and we got to be the people to bring that back. We have the platform.
Honestly, I get it. Honestly, I'm with them. Yeah, like, why do we stop calling them Johnsons? It's such a good name for it.
Oh my God!
Let's bring it back, everybody.
I love you so much, Greg.
Tim, what do you feel when I text you?
When you text me, it's always good. But a text from Barrett always means he's legitimate. Something has made him think about me. You know what I mean? And it's usually something hype related.
Yeah,
so then I just. There's nothing I enjoy in my life. And anybody that's known me for any amount of time here at Kind of Funny knows my favorite thing is sharing hype with others. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The moment I love something, I want to share it with other people. I want to talk about it. I want to get excited about it. I want to talk about our favorite moments from it. And Barrett's that guy. Barrett just beat Pokemon last night.
Oh, yeah.
So he's texting me up a storm talking about all the, like, he was marking out for Ed Sheeran. We have the number one Ed Sheeran fan, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Barrett Courtney.
Oh, I didn't know Barrett Courtney was
Ed Sheeran, though. But I was like, yo, this is like, I just wasn't expecting it. And then Alyssa was the one who pointed out right as you texted me. And she was like, I think that's Ed Sheeran. Yeah, I was like, oh shit.
Yeah. So sorry. Incredible. I interrupted you a while ago.
I just have a bullet point list of things to throw out here. One, have I ever told you that I used to work at Pizza Hut? I was a delivery driver.
No. Yes. No, I thought I knew this, but I didn't.
Yeah.
We need to get you on the KF podcast, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a long story because I did it for a summer. Okay. Right? For a summer I delivered pizzas for Pizza Hut. But with that, I had access to one personal pan pizza for $1 every day. Every day that I was working.
But they still charged
me. They still charged me $1. Yeah.
$1?
They were like, we can't just give you these personal pan pizzas. We got to charge you $1. Yep. But when I tell you that, I paid that $1 and I ate that personal pan pizza every single day and I never got sick of it.
Yeah.
I fucking love Pizza Hut so much that I worked there, came out the other side and was like, nah, man, I still love pizza. I'm still eating this food.
Oh, my God.
That's first and foremost. Secondly, the Little Caesars pizza that I had last night, it was fine.
Yeah,
I wouldn't purposely order it again. Okay. I think I would go Domino's. Thirdly, did you know that I play Among Us every Saturday with your close friend Alfredo?
Do you really?
Yeah, every single Saturday. Yeah, we play modded, Among Us, and it is a fantastic time.
Hell
I can't recommend modded Among Us enough. There's a mod called Town of Us that allows you to add different roles, and the way in which we play is like, pretty much every single person in there is a different role, right? There are the crewmate roles, there's the imposter roles, and there's like a neutral role, right? And the neutral role can change, right? The neutral role might be something like the glitch, that if you're the glitch, your goal is to be the last one who's surviving. And the way, and like, you get special abilities where you can like transform into other people, so you're like fooling other people when you're like killing.
Literally just turning the game werewolf / mafia into the game Among Us.
Yes, right. And like, there's another role that's literally called werewolf where you can like kill four people in quick succession, right? And like, that it becomes so like meta heavy of, all right, we're in a meeting. All right, this person died, but did they die because somebody killed them, or are they the sheriff and they try to kill the imposter, but they tried to kill the wrong person and so they killed themselves instead, right? Like, it is so layered in terms of the amount of depth it has in trying to solve who's the imposter and who's the neutral role, and it's a fantastic time.
Hell yeah! Are you streaming on your channel with that?
No, I might start. It's too much work. You can watch me on the Alfredo's channel. Go to twitch.tv/AlfredoPlays. Yeah, every Saturday.
Hell yeah, man. That's super cool. Any more bullets on your list?
No. If I think of any, I'll throw them out. And I'll throw them in the next news story.
There we go. Next news story. A sad one. No Mortal Kombat at Game Awards. This comes from Ed Boon. 4 years ago at the Game Awards, we managed to pull off a great surprise announcement of Mortal Kombat 11, which turned out great. Perhaps too great, as many assumed we'd repeat that trick for our next game. Thank you for the anticipation, but we're not ready to announce the next NRS game yet.
Take your time. But where you at, though? It's been a while.
Yeah.
Ed Boon and NetherRealm Studios, but take your time, though.
A bit of a bummer, because I feel like we expected it, right?
Yeah.
And, we've said this a million times. It's 2022. We're not that far out from the entire world changing. Mm. So I get it. Makes sense. I'm super excited. Can't wait for what NetherRealm does next. Honestly, at this point, I am kind of, we don't need it right now.
The other thing is that we're drowning in video games. It's not like the world is hurting for a next big fighting. Like, Street Fighter 6 is around the corner. Tekken 8 has been announced. We know we're getting Project L. And I still like imagine that whatever NetherRealm's next thing is not too far, right? Like, I would still think that we're thinking 2024, maybe, if not even next year. Yeah, take your time. Like, we'll be here when you reveal it.
Yeah, and I'm super excited, man. I feel like, not to be a broken record, but what NetherRealm's doing over there is like very special, and I think that they have a foundation that can take them, that already has taken them, beyond just what you expect from a fighting game of what that can be, and also be this tournament ready, like very community focused game. Calling it a game even is funny, because like at some point it transitions to an esport, right? At some point it's like there's different levels to the competition, the balance that are necessary for it to like hit that right way. And I think they got the stuff there, but then they also have the stuff for people like me that just want to play a fun fighting game and get a fun story and like feel like there's a premium product out of a fighting game, as opposed to just how many modes can we fit in this just to give people more things to do while they're not playing multiplayer, right?
It has the polish that you'd want from a AAA game. It has the polish that you'd want from a esports in terms of like making sure balancing is good, make sure that this is something that is viable. It has a very fun story. Of course, it has the world of Mortal Kombat, so it's inherently a fun world. And also, like, these games are experimentative too, in the way that Mortal Kombat 11 was the last one, right? Yeah, Mortal Kombat 11 had stuff in there in terms of the different fighting styles you can give your character and customizing your character's moveset, where that like actually added a lot to the experience and made it a deeper thing, and also made it a thing that made me not play it as much as Mortal Kombat 10 or Mortal Kombat X. You know, and like that's something that I commend them for, because, you know, even though that turned me off a little bit, it's still a thing where I'm like, at the very least, Mortal Kombat is not stagnant, right? At the very least, it's not like they're not trying things and they've settled into what they're doing. Like they keep, you know, they keep trying things, they keep experimenting. Even Injustice 2 had interesting like loadout stuff that you can equip things to your character to make them play a certain way. And yeah, I think their games are fascinating and growing in interesting ways. And so I look forward to seeing what they do with the next Mortal Kombat and or Injustice. And or both.
And or.
Make them fight each other.
Watch and or. Story number 8, Monster Hunter Rise is coming to PlayStation, Xbox, Game Pass next month. Logan Plant at IGN. Monster Hunter Rise is making the move to all consoles as the previously Switch-exclusive game will soon be available everywhere. Plus, Xbox Game Pass subscribers can look forward to Rise joining the service for consoles, PC, and cloud at launch. Capcom announced the game's multi-platform release set for January 20th, 2023, which we're so close to, Bus. So close to 2023. The game originally came out in March 2021 before it came to Steam earlier this year. Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak, the major expansion, available on Switch and Steam, is coming to all platforms sometime next spring. Unfortunately for hunters who have already poured hundreds of hours, cross-save and cross-play is not planned for Xbox or PlayStation. This means if you want to play on these platforms, you have to start from scratch. Fans requested cross-save and cross-play leading up to Monster Hunter Rise's Steam release as well, but Capcom said they were unable to implement the features at the time. The new versions boast improved performance over the Switch release, including 4K resolution, 60 frames per second on PS5 and Series X, along with 3D audio. Ranged and shielded weapons will also make use of DualSense's adaptive triggers on the PlayStation 5. Plus, I keep thinking that we're about a month away from the DualSense Edge controller.
Oh.
Whoa.
And I can't wait to hold that.
I could not have told you when that came out. Like, yeah. When I thought you were going to say Forspoken, and I was like, yeah, Forspoken's coming out. Yeah, let's go. All right, Forspoken. But yeah.
Excited to, you know, do some edging, Tim?
Oh, I'm going to edge so hard.
Jesus Christ.
Also, you guys have been talking about this game, this entire story, and I've just been holding back a Rise.
There we
That's
go.
Good.
Real good.
Good. It's real good.
Yeah, cool. Love this. Love seeing Switch games not be held back by Switch hardware.
I really, goddamn, just throwing the shade at the Switch, which I agree, actually. But, like, I can't wait to actually play this game. Like, it was one that I missed when it came to Switch. I think partly because it came on out the Switch, and also it came out just during a time I was playing other stuff. But I missed the PC release as well. And it coming to PlayStation, I think, will be enough to get Greg Miller into it, which means that there is more of a chance that I play it, because maybe Greg Miller will play with me.
And
maybe
Kevin.
And Kevin, and maybe you can get Andrew Cortez.
I think Kevin was into World as well.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I've really wanted to get into a Monster Hunter game, and I've just not found my chance yet. And so hopefully, Rise coming to the PlayStation does it for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Rise.
Oh my God, so much to talk about. Story number 9. Star Wars Battlefront 2 for PSP looks set to join the PlayStation Plus Classics library. This comes from Tom Ivan at VGC. I love that this is its own news story, bless.
Oh, I had to make it its own
news
story.
A man of taste. A man of fine taste.
You think I'm going to put this in new dates? What do I look like?
The PSP version of Star Wars Battlefront 2 appears set to join the PlayStation Plus Classics library in the future. A PlayStation Store page detailing an updated version of the 2005 release was temporarily made live earlier today. While it has since been taken offline, Gamatsu republished the official overview of the game, along with a handful of screenshots from some artwork. Other titles expected to join the PlayStation Plus Classics library in the future include Ridge Racer 2, Dino Crisis, and Soul Calibur Broken Destiny. Ridge Racer 2, is Ridge Racer 1 already there? Because, like, I
Who
freaking
knows?
Love there, that launch game, Ridge Racer 1.
Maybe, but now the real question is, what tier is it at? Who knows?
There's no rhyme or reason to, like, the games they put on the PlayStation Plus Classics library, because I think Toy Story 2 might be on there, but not Toy Story. Like, they don't give a fuck.
Now, real quick, I know we're going a little long on this, but I want to tell a quick story about this game. This game holds a very special place in my heart.
The PSP version?
The PSP version.
Okay.
Because it reminds me of one of the moments where we, the gamers, started to win. You know, we talk about it now, Animal Crossing.
Wait.
Animal Crossing sells 10 bazillion units, right? And everyone's like, yo, gaming's more mainstream than it's ever been. More people have consoles, console sales, blah, blah, blah. God of War, Ragnarok, Pokemon, Scarlet, all of these things. Dripping money, sales monies, all the things. Mm-hmm. Dollars and cents, all right? Everywhere. Cool to be a gamer.
Yeah.
Back in 2003, back in 2002, I don't remember the exact date. I was in middle school, all right? Mm-hmm. Sixth grade, seventh grade, somewhere around there. Pokemon Ruby comes out. And we're all of us kids trying to act like we're too old for Pokemon. We're over this shit. You know, we're grown-ups now. We're in middle school.
Yeah. Oh,
right?
Yeah. I know that.
And I remember it was me. It was me that busted out my GBA SP with Pokemon Ruby. And I just started playing it. Oh, when my friends lead over, he's like, oh, you're playing the new Pokemon too? He's like, I'm playing it at home. Next guy. Oh shit, I'm playing too. Next thing you know, the next day, we're all trading, we're battling, we're fucking, we took over the Marina Middle School schoolyard, all right, playing Pokemon. The nerds won that day, all right? The basketball courts were empty, not a dribble to be heard, because we were playing fucking Pokemon,
what
all right?
Where are we going? I'm
like, wait, what does that have to do with with the Star Wars Battlefront 2?
That was my moment number one, where the gamers won. Moment number two was about 10 years, it's not right at all, 5 years later, all right? I was in high school, all right? This game comes out. And I remember there was this big event, big school event that everyone was all excited for. And this motley crew was like, no, we're going to fucking sit out here and all connect our PSPs on whatever the fucking Wi-Fi LAN situation. Ad hoc, that's what it was called.
I was going to say there was no Wi-Fi.
Ad hoc. They're going to play on ad hoc. And everyone, there was so many people fucking playing this game. Star Wars Battlefront 2 on PSP, and I remember I wasn't playing myself, but I remember walking around looking at everybody being like, I salute you, I'm proud of you, today the gamers won again, a way that I haven't seen since the great Pokemon Ruby War of 2002 or 3, depending on whenever my memory serves me incorrectly.
Rise up, gamers.
Rise up, gamers.
Rise up.
Bless, you asked me yesterday about this, of why the PSP version, because I feel like you're a little torn on the version that they're bringing to
PlayStation. Oh, I'm not even torn. I'm upset. Because, like, I was so excited. So you dropped this into the KFGD Slack, and as soon as I saw it, I was like, let's freaking go. We just did an episode of Remember Blank on Star Wars Battlefront 2 for the PS2. And I was like, during that episode, I was like, Barrett, we should play some Galactic Conquest. That sounds fun as hell. And so when they announced this, I was like, oh, let's go. We're getting Star Wars Battlefront 2 on PS5. Me and Barrett can do Galactic Conquest on stream. It was going to be a whole good time. And I reread the tweet, and I saw it was the PSP version. And I was like, ugh. I'm pretty sure the PSP version doesn't have local multiplayer or Galactic Conquest.
Well,
fuck that.
Well, we can still do Galactic Conquest, Blessing.
You do ad hoc.
No,
we can get an Xbox.
Xbox or Steam. It's on there.
Yeah.
On both of those.
I think that's what we're going to do.
Story number 10. Fuser shutting down.
Story
number 11. Story number 10. Fuser shutting down. This is a press release. We want to thank you for mixing with us on December 19th. We will be disabling Fuser's live services and all sales of the game, as well as its DLC. Players who already own Fuser will still be able to play the campaign in quick play with any DLC they already have acquired. Thank you for your support for all the amazing mixes over the years.
See, now this, I'm torn on this.
Yeah.
Because I loved Fuser for the week that I played Fuser, and then I never played Fuser again. Mm-hmm. So maybe I'm part of the problem.
Fuser was a blast.
Fuser deserved way better.
Yeah. Super fun, but at the same time, I'm happy. Even if they're not adding stuff, you can still play campaign, quick play, all the DLC. Yeah. They're doing this,
which honestly, it's like, good enough. Cool, it's not great. Like I was playing online.
Yeah,
anyway,
exactly.
Yeah,
so.
I don't. This is one of those ones where I would have wanted more from Fuser, but I don't know how they can make that happen. I think maybe just the concept itself was not bound for success.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I don't know if there was a world where the best version of Fuser is a worldwide phenomenon. Like I think it was just one of those ones where it's like, it's a cool idea. We made a fun thing. Hopefully it sticks. And it didn't stick probably as much as they wanted it to, or I wanted it to as a fan. But I like this video game.
Big Mike's walking in.
Mike, you played some Fuser?
Yeah.
Did you like Fuser?
Bless. I wish I was as good as you at Fuser because you were so good.
Oh, thank you.
But I wanted to come in and talk about it because that was also at the moment when Twitch really went hard on DMCA crackdown claims.
Yeah.
And that was when this game, because you were killing it, Bless, on your live streams. And it was really cool of like you're hosting your own virtual concert or Coachella. And the idea was novel of like, man, you love Guitar Hero, you love Rock Band. What if we made Fuser and really mix this up for the brand new century? And then Twitch was like, hey, you can't be playing music. And then immediately shot that game dead in the water because at the first week or two, people were like, yo, this is fun. This is exciting. You saw Bless's enthusiasm. I, with no rhythm, was trying, Tim. I was playing just a lot of Adele. But immediately a week later, Twitch was like, you can't do that. And it shot that game down dead in the water right there. So I just wanted to make sure we talked about that.
That's a good call, actually.
Because there is a moment. This game was good. It just quickly, you couldn't stream it with your friends. Mm-hmm. And I'm not hosting a concert for just myself, Tim. I'm playing the Spice Girls for you and and my mom, who only watches my Twitch streams.
I love that so much. Oh, my God.
That's
so
a really good call.
Mom, I need to meet her one day. I can't even imagine. That is, she must be the most wonderful human being on the planet.
Or like she's just exhausted. She's like,
what is it? Maybe both. Maybe both. But man, we're not going to meet Snowbike Mike's mom for so long.
No, we're not.
But if I want to know
never say never.
Mom and Grop shops today, where would I look?
You would look toward the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts. Each and every weekday.
It's a Friday.
I try to do it from my head. I usually don't. Yeah. I think I got it.
You got in your head. You were nailing it. Yeah. I was thinking, oh, damn, he's not looking at the screen. I'm proud of him here. And then you thought about it too much. You just need to just keep talking.
Yeah.
You know? That's what I do.
Again, you do it with confidence. Nobody will question you.
That's it.
Yeah.
Those are the rules of life, everybody. You heard him here. The facts of life. You got to get them right. Out today, Marvel's Midnight Suns, Need for Speed Unbound, which I really want to talk to you about.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. We got to talk about it.
Give me the one sentence of where you're at right now with Need for Speed Unbound.
I'm having a blast. That's all I'll say. Okay. I'm having a blast.
Fantastic. Resident Evil Village Winner's Expansion coming to Switch. Callisto Protocol coming everywhere.
What is it? Was it the coming everywhere?
It was the coming everywhere.
You fucking child.
Yeah, it was.
We're also coming hot off of yesterday. Optimus Prime saying, let them come.
Callisto Protocol coming everywhere except for the Switch. Broken Universe Tower Defense coming to the Xbox series of consoles. Dwarf's Adventure to PC. Intrepid Izzy on everything. Sakura Succubus 6 on Switch. Serial M Ultimate on Switch.
I'm going to need footage of Sakura Succubus 6.
Absolutely not.
And Underwater Discoveries on PC. And then Super Kiwi 64 on PC and Switch. Barrett, I would like to see Super Kiwi 64. Because if these motherfuckers have the audacity to invoke the name of 64 in their title.
Have you seen footage of this yet?
No.
Okay.
Is this a game that was on N64? Because I never heard of this.
I don't think so.
Oh, I got questions then. Oh! This is way better than Sakura Succubus is 6. This looks like Banjo-Kazooie. For audio listeners, right, you're looking at a game that looks like an N64 game. There's collectibles, and they're spinning like they would on the N64.
That got such a very specific thing there.
And interestingly enough, right, like the collectibles look like Banjo-Kazooie shit, but like the levels actually look like some like Perfect Dark type shit.
Dude, show me the kiwi.
But this is Banjo.
There's the kiwi.
And there's the kiwi. He has a backpack on. Oh my god.
Oh shit, bless.
This looks dope.
Is this about to be a disruptor for Game of the Year conversation? Dude.
What in the world?
Hey man, it's coming to Switch.
This is like one of those ones where it's like, if you asked me what kind of game I would make if I had the ability to make a game, it'd be like
this. Dude, I love that type of gameplay. Hold on.
Yeah, this is again for audio listeners.
Me of Mario Odyssey, Tim.
Yeah.
When you take over like that enemy at the Bowser's Castle level.
Well, shit.
For audio
you know
listeners,
I mean?
You're playing
I know
as,
what I'm
like,
doing this weekend.
Dude, it's $2.99.
Oh,
wait, really?
Shit.
It's $2.99 on the Switch.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a steal.
It's getting good reviews. Oh, man. All right. Well, we're going to leave because we got to go play Super Kiwi 64. Even the logo.
They've nailed it, actually. They nailed it.
All right.
Audio listeners, go to the video. Check out what we're talking about. It's like you're playing as a little bird creature, a little kiwi.
You're playing it as a kiwi.
As a kiwi?
It's kiwi. New dates for you.
Fruit?
Saints Row 4. On PC will be upgraded to re-elected for free on December 8th, along with PC crossplay for Steam, GOG, and EGS. And Saints Row 4 re-elected will be free on Epic Games Store starting December 8th. It's a deal for you. A little bit of your wrongs. Let's get in here. Let's see what we got wrong, which is actually factually impossible. Oh, Jesus, there's a lot.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot.
Oh, no. It's people come writing in some stuff here, including kebabs. Not saying we're wrong. Mainly saying we're right. The best verse in To Be a Master is good luck with muck and it's poison gas. One wrong move and it'll kick your grass.
Whoa, they let that slide?
Yeah, dude.
Wow.
So good.
Carson Network was hardcore back in the day.
Then we got a lot of soccer stuff.
Nando saying Ghana made it to the quarterfinals in 2010, which I got right. I know I asked for clarification, which is why you put that in there.
A lot of people talking shit about fingerless gloves, and may I refer you to Johnny Lawrence. And you try to tell me that motherfucker isn't cool as all shit. All right? By the way, did you watch Creed?
I did watch Creed.
Okay, we're going to have to talk about that later. Jesus. Stretch Caramel says orcas, poorly named killer whales, are part of the dolphin family.
Ah, so I got it right. Because Willie is an orca. There.
You got that technicality.
Kebab says also dolphins are whales. All right, let's take you back to kindergarten, right. Kebabs. Ridge, the K in kebab stands for kindergarten. The B in kebab stands for baby.
God!
Kindergarten
the
baby?
The A in kebab stands for adolescent, and the second B stands for baby again. All right, kebab. Get back in your fucking diapers and go to school. Whales are dolphins?
Okay, so
that might be factually correct. I actually don't know.
Kindergarten, baby, adolescent, baby.
Yes.
Okay. Ridge Racer 1's not on PlayStation Plus. Thank you for that, Nano. Pokemon Ruby came out in 2003.
Yeah, you got that right. That's what you're right.
Thank you.
Bless said that Insomniac revealed Wolverine and Spider-Man 2 back-to-back in the same showcase, but there was actually GT7 trailer sandwiched between them. You know what I mean.
You know what he fucking meant.
You know what I meant.
You know what he fucking meant, everybody.
That's pretty much back-to-back. Everybody tuned out for that GT7 trailer. Come on.
Back-to-back. Hey, GT7, man, that trailer, I think you had Moon over the castle. Don't talk shit. Don't talk shit about Free Willy in my house, and don't talk shit about
I literally can't. I've never seen it. I can't talk shit about Free Willy. The chat was talking shit. Get him out of your house, Tim.
Get out of my house. Get out of my house. Next week's hosts are Greg and me and Mike, then Blessed me, then me and Mike, then me and Andy.
Whoa, it's a heavy
Tim. A lot of me.
Tim every single day. Goddamn.
It's a Tim week, everybody, because Greg and Bless are going to be going down to the Game Awards while we stay here. Remember, we're doing our big ass live reaction to the Game Awards on Thursday, so come hang out with us. It's going to be an absolute blast. Can't wait to see what Jeff has cooking for us. But until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.